So our next presenter is Sarojini Kanotra, and she is with the Kentucky Department of Public Health. She will be discussing the use of face-to-face interviewing as an alternate mode of collecting BRFSS data among Hispanic residents in Kentucky.
Good afternoon. Yeah. And thank you for coming for this afternoon session. So I'm the BRFSS coordinator for the state of Kentucky, and we do look at alternate modes of, you know, surveying populations where we do not get, like, representative samples. So this was one of our efforts to do so for the Hispanic population. And I guess most of us know what BRFSS is, so I'll skip this task slide. And so in Kentucky, we call BRFSS as we try to own it as KYBRFS program. So what we had seen that in Kentucky, we were not able to get the sufficient responses from Hispanic residents in Kentucky. But it is known that the Hispanic population in Kentucky has doubled in this decade from 1.5% in 2000 to 3.1% in 2010. Although the people I know, the Hispanic champions that I know in the community, they say that this is also not correct. So there is no way of telling what is the exact population of Hispanic residents in Kentucky. And this is a very transient population and very difficult to survey using the standard BRFSS random digit tiled landline force survey. And why I say so, that was because in 2011, I think, we tried to oversample Hispanic respondents in a particular county. But we were like oversampling for at least 300 Hispanic respondents. And my statistician in CDC said, Sarojini, you'll not get that many respondents. But Dr. Trugman, who was the project director for the Louisville Metro Health Department, he said, no, we do not have any data for Hispanics in our community. It was the CPPW grant, if you are familiar with that, is community putting prevention to work. So they wanted to see collect some data about Hispanic residents in Jefferson County. And I guess the BRFSS, our statistician, was right. We got only, out of the 300 that we oversampled, we got only 20 respondents that were Hispanic. So we knew that we are losing this population. We are not collecting data for that population. So I wanted to do something like, what is the method to collect? So I collaborated with the Chronic Disease Prevention Branch, Office of Health Equity, North Central Area Health Education Center. So there was like a lot of people. We all collaborated around January of 2012. I started the conversation with the Office of Health Equity. I said, okay, so what is the best method that we can do to collect data from this population? So as we had the team, we started having meetings. So the first question that came up was, what mode will we use to disseminate the survey? Would it be self-administered, phone, face-to-face? Phone, we knew, had a problem, but, you know, we were still looking at the different modes. So what would be the mode of sampling? Would it be probability sampling or non-random sampling? So would it be cluster sampling? So we wanted to figure out, so could we buy the telephone numbers for the telephone survey? And could we slice it into rural versus urban? Because we had some data from Louisville. So what could we do? Like, could we use students from universities across the state where these populations are? Could we go into churches? So there is some literature that some kind of multi-stage sampling has been done in churches. So could we do it free health clinics? So there were several questions. So what will be our end? And what will be the, because it was here, like normally for BRFSS, like although the states collect the data, the phone samples are provided by CDC. The sampling is done by CDC, and the weighting is done by CDC. Since this was a state project, so we could not depend on, the CDC doing this for us. So, first of all, mode of survey was the question. So, we realized the Office of Health Equity said that we need a champion in the community. For free health clinics, people said, okay, because these Hispanic residents are going to the free health clinics, they have some level of trust in those clinics, that they are going to those clinics, so maybe we should start from there. So from trust, we realized that if people are trust-like, so we needed a champion in the community. So Office of Health Equity suggested that we use the AHEC health coordinator, and she identified a coordinator, like a person who has more than approximately 200 lay health workers, also known as promotoras. So we said, okay, that is a start, that we could do face-to-face interviews using these health promotoras. Even if we send them to the free health clinics, and they can help the respondents, you know, complete the survey. So then came the process of, okay, should it be probabilistic or non-probabilistic sampling? So because if you see, we have 4 million residents in Kentucky, and we are saying 3% is Hispanic respondents. And as we looked at the residents in Kentucky, they are spread over only in certain counties where they are more than 3%. So our decision was that we should select counties, that will have at least 3% Hispanic population. It ranges from 3 to 9% as based on the census. So our options were, do we do like stratified sampling, two straight cluster sampling, church-based sampling? So I went to the CDC statisticians, survey methodologists, and talked to them, and they said anytime we are doing probabilistic sampling, we have to be able to randomize in all steps. Like if we are using in such pilot projects, we normally do multi-stage sampling. So if we are doing it, for example, if we selected churches, first of all, we have to select the counties, okay? So the county selection, as I'm saying, we could not randomize the selection of counties based because of the percent population in those counties of Hispanics. Then second stage would be finding the churches that provided services to Spanish residents. Okay, so we have to have an ability to get a list of those churches in those counties so that we are able to randomize. So third step would be get a list of those people who attend those churches. So at any one of the stages, there was a probability of randomizing or doing convenience. So it was suggestion made by the service, like the survey methodologist at the CDC. She says that what you can do. So we weighed all the pros and cons of doing probabilistic sampling rather than non-probabilistic sampling. I was aiming more towards the scientific way, epidemiology. So she said, she said that this is what I would suggest. This is not CDC recommendation. But this is something that, since you have no data, right now we have no data. So the first, this is a pilot. So go for convenience samplings and get a large sample. So that was the recommendation, and I'm glad I took that recommendation. So here is if you see, this is Kentucky, and the darker shades, if you see, it's like a belt. If you see the darker, so Jefferson County, Shelby County, if you see on the upper northern side. These are the areas, Fayette County. Fayette and Jefferson are one of our bigger counties, where you have horse racing. You heard about Derby. So those are, I'm being practical because we were talking to the champion of the community, and we had to know if we are doing convenience sampling, we have to be able to go into a county where we could recruit these respondents. So finally, we selected 12 counties which had, in 2012, we selected 12 counties based on the percent of Hispanic respondents, the Hispanic residents in those counties, their affiliation with the local health departments, and their affiliation with the Area Health Education Center, because that is where that is where my champion, the person, the coordinator for this project, could get promotoras to come in that community to do recruit the respondents. So this, since this was the first time we were doing, and so I also repeated this process again in 2012. So we knew that we were doing convenience sampling. We knew we are using face-to-face mode of interviewing, using the lay health promoters. Then came the process of data collection instruments. So we used the BRFSS. For the 2012, we used the 2012 BRFSS. And what we did, on their suggestion, we added two additional modules of diabetes and pre-diabetes. They suggested that, and then we also added, like, from the core. So the core was taken, and in addition to the core, we added diabetes and pre-diabetes. And from the even year, or one of odd year core, we took the hypertension awareness and blood pressure, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and hypertension awareness modules added to these. In the demographic section, we added a question from the census to identify the country of origin for the Hispanic respondents. So that was something that I also wanted to add, like if they were foreign born or native, but that was something the champion and the promotora said no. Because, you know, as I said, this is a very transient population. So anything to do with immigration was, or anything that you're foreign-born or native-born, although I wish I had added at least in the second year, but that was not added. So what we did was we used the TASAM template. We were provided a mail survey template from BRFSS CDC, and we used that as a template to create the questionnaire in Spanish. And for each, if you see the questionnaire at the corner, top right corner, we have on the front page has a unique identifier that was used for tracking which county we had done the survey and who was the interviewer, so we needed to track that. This instrument was field tested in the Hispanic Fair, and also when we were training the promotoras, they did dummy interviews to field test this instrument. So my job was to train the project coordinator and her intern. She brought in a PhD student who was bilingual. So she brought with that student with her, and so my job was to train them, and they in turn trained the promotoras. And it was we were very pleased. There were like 25, and they were all eager to learn. But they gave us very good feedback. So as I said, the field testing was also done after this training, when they, you know, did the dummy interviewing. They let us know what was lacking in that survey or what needs to be changed. So we revised it before it went to the field. So as I said, the promotoras were trained on what is BRFSS, okay? Why is it important? So you are asking someone face to face. So the project, the interviewers are need, as it is, we know that for BRFSS, the more training we provide to the interviewers, the better. We normally use veteran interviewers to do, you know, most of the interviews, because it's a long interviewer, and you need to keep those respondents, you know, to complete that interview. So what is BRFSS? Why is it important? And give the respondents good reasons to participate, and how to respond to questions posed by the participants, so that they do not give answers to those participants. Rather, so what is the methodology to respond to these questions? What, like, and also explain to them what is informed consent. You don't need to force them to, you know, complete the interview. Just because you know them, don't force them to complete the interview. Then it could be cultural, and I'm Indian, so I could do that. So I was like, okay. So then we talked about probing techniques, okay? If that person is not understanding what I'm asking you. So there were certain, the method we were teaching them, okay, so if they are not understanding what you're saying, there are some, you know, phrases that can be used as probes. So what are the verification techniques? All of these we were, like, they were trained on these. So in fall of 2012, finally, all of these promotoras with their, you know, packages of, you know, data collection instrument surveys, they recruited the client, their respondents in the communities. They went to Kroger, Walmart, most of the grocery stores, churches, then in restaurants, even in apartment parking lots. You know, wherever they knew that you would have a collect, like, they were wherever they thought they could find Hispanic respondents. And I was very pleased to see that in 2 months they were able to collect 1,500 completed surveys. Which I could not do in like a year.
Right.
So some of the findings I would like to share, and I need to say a big disclaimer here. So this, we actually looked at the unweighted prevalence estimates of the Hispanic special project that we did, and this was also, and we also observed the unweighted 2012 and 2013 data that we collect from the standard BRFSS. But this was not like we compared those observations. It was just like observing two measurements done in two very different ways. So this is the demographics. Like, I was surprised, you know. So, but majority of our respondents were from Mexico. But this is the different countries of origin for the Hispanic respondents. Looking at the age group, if you see for the 2012, the second column, 2012 and 2013 Hispanic survey, we saw that approximately 80% fell in between 18 to 44 years of age. But, and in, if you observe the 2012 Hispanic, the BRFSS respondents, that is like way lesser than compared to the, it's just opposite. If you just look at the distribution, you will see that majority of them are 55 to 65 years in the actual BRFSS phone survey. And so the demographics, if you look at the employment status, majority of the respondents that we surveyed were employed, versus in case of the regular phone survey, we are seeing that most, they were employed, approximately 44% were employed, but you also see that approximately 32 and 22% were like retired, which was not the case in the Hispanic survey that we did. So if you look at the gender, more males than females responded to the special survey. In case of the phone survey, it's more females than males responding to the survey. And education level, a majority of the respondents that we surveyed were less than high school education, and whereas in the regular phone survey, we see that they have graduated high school or more than that. Their level of education is higher. Then renter or owner status, most of the majority of the Hispanic respondents for our survey rented, whereas, or they had other arrangement because they lived in like groups. And whereas in the regular, if you see in the regular phone survey, it's more owning. They own their homes. Then remember that we have a very younger population. 80% of the population was younger. So the one thing that we saw was binge drinking was higher, way higher in the survey that we did compared to the regular phone survey. The current smoking was a little lower. Obesity was kind of similar in both the surveys. And here again I say that I'm not comparing, I'm just observing two measurements done in two very different ways. It's like, if you look at our respondents for Hispanic survey, They are much lower in the chronic disease as compared to the ones that are in the regular phone survey. Healthcare coverage. It's only 26% for our, the Hispanic survey versus the regular phone survey. Although we do see, because we Kentucky, we did have implementation of ACA in 2013. So I am seeing a slight increase, but we have to go further and see if we can do another survey to compare what it looks like. So finally, if we look at the results, we were able to reach the hard-to-reach population in some counties, because as I said, we cannot generalize because it's a non-probabilistic sample, and we have no way to calculate the statistical power. I can also could not calculate the response rate. I can tell that the participation rate was 98%, but I cannot calculate the response rate, because the response rate in BRFS is very complicated, as you have seen earlier. APOR, that's what the standardized way of calculating. I will not be comparing apples to apples if I say I'm calculating response rate. So face-to-face mode of interviewing is possible with appropriate level of training. And as I said, the population was younger, lower income, lower education level, working class Hispanic residents, as compared to Hispanic respondents surveyed using the phone survey. They had lower prevalence rates of chronic health conditions, and healthcare coverage was much lower. There were some limitations, as that goes with the, they were self-reported data, and the results are reflective of the sample and cannot be generalized. And I do not have any benchmark to compare this data with. So in conclusion, we do say that the face-to-face, if we look, mode of interviewing using the bilingual lay health workers is a good alternate method. And if we can combine it to a probability sampling technique, that is the epidemiologist in me saying, but I'm not a sampling methodologist. So with face-to-face interviewing, this could yield population level data needed for the Hispanic population in Kentucky. Thank you. And there's a lot of people I need to thank for in this. Okay. Thanks.
In the interest of time, we're going to move on to our next speaker. But if you have questions for
Sarojini,
I'll be here. Feel free to ask her afterwards. Thank you, Sarojini.